From Islamic Finance News, the world's leading Islamic finance news provider, this is IFN Podcast.
With painstakingly low growth and several failed starts, Germany has found little success in Islamic finance. Poor Islamic financial literacy and unsupportive regulatory infrastructure are some of the factors behind the slow take-up of Islamic financial products in the country. But the COVID-19 pandemic seems to have changed things. My name is Vinita Tan, the managing editor of IFN. And in today's episode, I speak to Bilhan Akbiyik and Emre Akel. They are both the founders and CEOs of Inaya, an Islamic fintech startup in Germany who has been around since 2007. Bilhan and Emre go into detail about how the landscape has changed over the last 15 years and what is actually in store for the German Islamic finance industry. Thank you both for joining us today. So Germany has a really thriving fintech scene. You know, it is often considered one of the top fintech markets in Europe. Can you set the landscape for us and really help our listeners understand how does Islamic fintech fit into that German narrative?
Well, Vinita, as you said, Germany is well known for its fintechs on the conventional side. So there is a sound basis of fintechs. There are the most famous one worldwide currently. And I believe that this is a kind of an indicator that the fintech landscape for Islamic finance has a great potential for Germany. One important information about Germany is that it seems to be just a non-Muslim country with a minority of Muslims at the first glance. Of course, we should always count the non-Muslim customers, but when we just focus on the Muslim population as a consumer group, then we have to mention that we have around 6 million Muslims currently in Germany. That's a high figure compared to many. It's more than compared to many other Muslim countries, by the way. So we believe that there is a high potential also to increase the offers by using new technologies, fintechs, and also digitize the Islamic finance market in Germany. So to increase also the offers, not only in Germany, but also European-wide and also globally.
Yes, I think you brought up a really, really important point, the large Muslim population, because Germany indeed has the largest Muslim population in Europe after France. Yet there are only a handful of Islamic financial services providers, including Inaya, right? So without enabling regulations, I would say it has been quite difficult for Islamic finance to really take off in Germany. Could both of you share with us the challenges you face in penetrating the market?
So in case of challenges for Islamic financial institutions, what we see is that Germany has quite high entry barriers, especially from the regulator side. Then on the other side, we have the topic of Islamic finance, which is quite new to the population here, especially because most of the Muslims here in Germany have a Turkish origin. In Turkey, Islamic finance is also a niche market with a percentage of around 5. So therefore, not really common and not well known compared to other countries. For instance, the GCC, where we see that Islamic finance is quite popular, or South East Asia. In case of challenges, what we see here is bringing together Sharia compliance and the legal requirements from Germany. So this is quite a tough thing.
Yeah, I just also wanted to underline what Emre said, because I think that this is very important. One of the main challenges of Germany really gets back to the regulatory framework. We have to notice that Germany, being a EU member, follows, of course, in the first row, the European regulations. And therefore, we also have a look into the regulatory framework of such as, you know, starting by the European Commission, but going ahead to the European Banking Authorities and Security and Markets Authorities. But Germany, as the local regulatory framework, has other entities and supervisories that are including further rules for especially fintechs or other companies. And one of the challenges what we see in Germany is also the framework for taxation rules. Because, I mean, as we know, the Islamic finance products, they have their own constitution. They are not known to Germany, especially not to the tax authorities. And here are some of the most challenges, potential of tax advantages, etc. And this is something anybody, any company who is targeting Germany has to be aware of this challenges, especially.
So it sounds like in Germany, not only you have to go through quite a lot of regulatory hoops, but you also have the issue, or rather the challenge of awareness, right? So as far as, you know, as being an Islamic fintech startup founder is concerned, what kind of support or what you wish would change or what is needed in order for you to better serve the market?
That's a really a good question, Mineta. Thank you for that, because I wanted to get into that today too. Let me just add one point to the challenge part, because I believe this is also very, very interesting. I believe it is not only an issue for Germany, but also for many other countries. But in October, we made a consumer survey, and we had around 390 respondents, which is a very representative number. And we noticed with this survey that a very high percentage of the respondents were unsure about certain products. And this is like, it starts with stocks and, you know, investment funds, etc., crowdfunding. So it seems that there is also a high need for elucidation to inform customers about these products, these consumers. And I believe this is something that should be done in a cooperation. It can be with global authorities, including the standard setting bodies, but also companies, organizations, to increase elucidation for consumers, to inform them about the compliancy of certain products, and just to give them a better understanding of the characteristic of the Islamic finance products.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify. So this consumer survey that you conducted, is it for financial products in general, or are you talking specifically Islamic financial products?
Specifically, yeah. It was only for interested consumers in Islamic finance. And one of the interesting outcomes was that around 30% of the respondents were non-customers yet. So they are not using any Islamic finance products. This consumer revealed interesting insight of what they need, what they're demanding, what their expectations are, especially their expectations in cases of suppliers and their characteristic. And one of the most important outcomes is, and I don't know if this is special for Germany, but the consumers prioritize the certification of a supplier being compliant with Islamic finance is very high. So they want to see a document, an independent certification that proves the compliancy of a provider. And I think this is an important insight to know about Germany and the customer base. And there's much more, Mineta. I mean, we ask a lot of interesting things, and this is important to know. It's not just about like having a product and providing to a market. Every market, every country, every region has its own mentality, its own kind of, you know, demanding products. And this is what we saw also in the consumer survey.
You mentioned that 30% of your respondents are not customers yet. In your survey, did you also manage to find out the reason why consumers do not use Islamic financial products? Is it due to a lack of supply or lack of understanding?
Exactly. We asked about that because we are also curious about that. So we asked those who said we are not the customer, but we would like to, you know, and we asked, what is it depending on that you are becoming a customer of Islamic finance company or provider? highest answer was that they said it depends on the availability of the right product. So it's definitely what you had as an interpretation that, yes, it depends on the lack of supply in Germany, and especially in case of the financing segment. We asked the consumers about their highest demand of products, and we could see that the highest demand is for real estate financing. So this is one of the data we could see in the consumer survey as one of the strongest demands from the customer side.
And what other opportunities do you see apart from, you know, real estate or mortgage financing? What other opportunities do you see for the German market?
We as INAIA, we are currently working on a solution, and the solution is based on Musharaka, and we use Ijara as a part of the financing cost. We hope that we can increase the supply in this area and also cover the need for a special product with the right system of financing, because consumers, we understood that consumers are also demanding a particular part of a financing instrument. So they do not accept every kind of financing tool. They want to understand it. It should be clear for them. It should be transparent. And we are working on such a product. Maybe this is another topic for another day, for another podcast possibly, but we are planning to offer, to launch a real estate financing product next year, inshallah.
Fantastic. I think what is also very interesting is just the level of sophistication of the German consumers, because you mentioned that they really place a high value on Sharia compliance, which is not necessarily something we potentially see in other markets. So I think that's a very interesting point.
Definitely. I agree with that, Vinita. But, you know, this reflects also, for example, the landscape of IFN. I did a statistic just to see how is the comparison when we include some filters, because currently when we, for example, compare Germany with UK, we see a huge gap at first glance, right? I mean, I think there are three or four registered companies from Germany, and I'm not sure about the figures, but I think it's more than 50 for UK. But when you filter those companies who don't have a certification, the fatwas, and when you also filter those companies who are more in a, you know, like a startup phase without a product yet, like no operation, then these figures are getting very similar to each other. So I believe in whole that the potentials and challenges for Islamic finance fintechs might be similar in some view when we use these kind of filters. But yes, as we said, Germany has its own specification and rules, and I think that increases a bit more the barriers to offer more products. But I personally believe that we are in a good momentum by new technologies, by digitization. We could increase the offer, for example, for Islamic compliant investment funds. I mean, 5-6 years ago, we had just had one compliant fund in Germany. Currently, we have a bit more, and it's increasing. Just this year, we could convince Franklin Templeton to list their new technology fund also in Germany to increase our chance to diversify the portfolio of our customers, because this was also one of the biggest challenges in the recent years.
So you mentioned the real estate financing product that you guys are working on. What else can we expect from INAIA in 2023?
Well, another project we are planning to launch for 2023 is that we want to offer our customers an additional payment tool to our gold savings plan, including a credit card usability, and just to increase the facility on one product, to increase the access to liquidity And this is another huge project we are working for a few years now, and hopefully we will be able to launch by 2023.
I'm curious to know, what kind of traction are you seeing? Because obviously you've been in the market for mm-hmm. quite a number of years now. Have you seen more traction, any shift in terms of like Islamic investment trends or anything like that?
I mean, one trend, what we noticed since we are in the market, is that the demand is increasing. That the customer group is searching. I think this is one of our biggest advantages, being a fintech provider, that most of the consumers are searching online for solutions, are interested in Islamic finance. They are trying to understand why Islamic finance is important. And I believe when we increase a bit more the opportunities for information elucidation, we will be able to attract much more customers and consumers to understand Islamic finance, and then also to demand Islamic finance. Another trend what we see is definitely that customers are using more digitally based solutions. They're getting used to the usability of apps and other advantages of new technologies. And I believe that will be a continuous trend for the future too.
Great. Emery, did you want to say something?
What we've noticed as well is that, we are in the market since many years, correct? But becoming a fintech company, that was since 2015 and 16. And what changed at that time is that we focused more on digitalization and giving the chance to the customer to subscribe a financial product online, purchase a financial product online. In the past, that was not possible due to some regulations and law, etc. But in the past, I mean, Biljan, he knows that as well. When we started, we sit together with the customer and we filled up a form manually. And so that changed in the past years. And before Corona, we had another survey where we asked the customers if they could imagine to become a customer of a digital-only finance institution. And that time, the answer was approximately 25% yes. Another 25% could imagine under certain circumstances. And so that changed since Corona. More and more customers are used to buy financial products online, digital. And so therefore, of course, Corona on the one hand changed the market. So people are more used to do all these stuff online. And that helped us a lot as well.
Of course, you guys are an Islamic investment platform, and now that you're looking or to provide financing as well, I'm wondering, how does that work? Because, for example, if any financial institution were to extend any sort of financing, let it be car financing or house financing, you would need insurance to cover that, or takaful. And there is not, correct me if I'm wrong, but there is not a takaful provider in Germany. So how do you sort of navigate that?
Well, we have to correct you then here. So there are indeed companies who start doing takaful in Germany or in EU. I mean, the good thing about the EU is as soon as you have a license in a European country, you can do EU passporting, which means you can distribute the product also in other European countries. And so there's one takaful company who started Family Takaful many years ago. And we were also selling these products. But unfortunately, this company decided to move to their core markets, which is Malaysia and GCC region. But the market is changing since also insurtech companies emerge. They are also focusing on supplying niche markets. And in that case, we are currently in negotiations with one insurtech company who is quite interested in the topic of takaful. And we believe that other companies will follow. could be from Germany or from France or from other EU countries. We see that there is an interesting momentum, as Bilgian already pointed out. And so this counts also for the insurance sector.
Definitely, I definitely agree with Emre that there will be more potential. There is already a trend, insurtechs, regtechs, and when we all put them in a category, we also can say that it is very important, and I think your question goes also in this direction, Vineta, that to be able to offer products in the retail market as a B2C provider, you need the B2B segment to be also available. And this is something we see a lot of space in Germany for B2B providers, the starters of insurtech providers as a B2B, and but also other segments too, just to increase the availability of different types of Islamic finance products and solutions.
I would like to highlight one point which I think is quite useful to understand Inaya as a company. When we started, we always said that we want to be demand driven, and so we focused on things which the customer should understand. When we started, we had a handful of investment funds in Germany, but some of these were simply closed because the feedback was that these funds simply had no demand. And so we said, well, that might be correct, but people in general, they do not, or the Muslim community in Germany, they do not really understand the structure, what a fund is. That was at that time. I mean, I'm talking about 15 years ago. Of course, new generation, they're more aware of investment funds, stocks, and cryptocurrency, blockchain, and so on and so forth. But at that time, we could definitely say that people were not really aware of these kind of products. And so we focused on gold because more than 50% of the Muslim population in Germany have a Turkish origin. And gold is quite popular in Turkey as an investment, as a gift, and typical in the Middle Eastern countries. You have high awareness for gold as an investment. So we started with gold. As Bilgian already said, the gold savings plan is one of our core products. And this product also developed. So what we do right now is, and I think we are the only one in the market, or maybe the only one in the world, which offers a Sharia compliant gold savings plan, which uses a green gold as an underline. What does green gold means? Green gold means that the entire supply chain is certified and ethically compliant, which means we don't have any kind of child labor, we don't have any kind of conflict sources, we don't have any negative influences. And this supply chain, this entire supply chain is traceable via blockchain. This is one important thing. The other important thing is definitely, as Bilgian already pointed out, that we are working together with external institutions, in that case, Minhaj, who is in charge of certifying the product, checking if the entire structure is in compliance with the Sharia rules. But not only the Sharia rules, as I said, we are also focusing on ethical compliance. Sometimes people offer gold as an investment, but do not really look behind the supply chain. And this is not the case here. We really care about the supply chain. And to add this, another opportunity is that Inaya will start offering a silver product as well in the beginning of the next year. We believe that silver has high potential, especially the prices for silver are very low right now. The demand is, I would say, average, but the potential of silver is amazing. If you imagine that there is less silver in the world available than gold, and it's quite demanded from the industry, so therefore we believe that this is a quite interesting in investment, which will follow in the next upcoming months.
So obviously you guys are doing a lot. So you started with a gold product. Now you're looking at you're offering, you know, investment funds, and you're looking at providing financing. What ultimately is the vision for Inaya? Like, what do you hope Inaya could become?
Yeah, so when it comes to the vision and mission from Inaya, then we can say Inaya empowers people to realize their financial goals and desires. And this in accordance with ethical values. We're talking about the Islamic values here, but in a wider sense, of course, not only for Muslim population. We have to add that we have a lot of non-Muslims who share the values with Muslim customers. And for this, we really try to develop new products, ethically certified products, which are demand-oriented, and this hopefully in a customer-centric ecosystem, which means when we look at Inaya, then we have some pillars, some keywords where we have a high concentration. This is on the one hand, customer service, and on the other hand, to understand the demand of the customer. And because of this, of course, we've seen different inquiries from customer perspective. And so therefore, when we share that there is a demand for a certain product, then we definitely try to find a solution there. And this is the way how Inaya works.
Definitely. I can maybe just add that our primary goal is to cover the financial needs of customers, and to be the one place that a customer knows, okay, I'm anything I need on the financial side to be covered is available here.
Thank you for listening. For more discussions on the Islamic finance industry, log on to www.islamicfinancenews.com. You can also listen to IFN Podcast on your favorite platforms, including iTunes and Spotify.